December 12th, Alexander McKay.
Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real-life stories about men.
When Alexander McKay was 3 years old, he read the entire New Testament, and at seven, he read the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. His father taught him geography, astronomy, and geometry. From 11 on, McKay got interested in engines, blacksmithing, and other such trades, then on to mathematics, photography, and even shipbuilding. But when Alexander was 16 years old, his mother died, which disrupted his entire life. At that point, he threw himself into the scriptures, and the trajectory of his life was set. When famous African explorer Henry Stanley challenged any brave Christian willing to spread the faith and work hard to come to Uganda, McKay went as an engineer missionary. He hacked a road 230 miles through a jungle so dense he said that a cat could scarcely creep along. He traveled land and river for 700 miles. He navigated a battered boat over Lake Victoria, an inland sea as big as Ireland, all the while driven by his fierce love for God and a bold determination to bring the gospel to the remotest parts of Uganda. He created an alphabet for the local unwritten language and taught boys to read the Lord's Prayer. McKay translated Matthew's gospel into Luganda, but he didn't see the success he hoped for. However, within 6 years of McKay's death, it is reported that 100,000 people had been brought into close contact with the gospel, and half of them could read it for themselves. Native Christians had built 200 buildings where they worshiped God, and they supported 200 native evangelists and teachers. There were 10,000 copies of the New Testament circulating, and all this in the center of the thickest spiritual darkness in the world.
When a man is driven by a fierce love for God, he can become unstoppable. Alexander McKay stood before one of the most powerful men in the African interior, King Mutesa. Although the king's dark eyes invoked a kind of primal dread, McKay was not afraid. He stared right back at the king, eyeball to eyeball. McKay was thrilled to share the message of hope in Jesus. As soon as McKay read that letter, he was all in. He would go to Africa. He would tell King Mutesa about King Jesus. Now here he was, 4 years later, standing in King Mutesa's court, eyeball to eyeball with a king who ruled with ruthless authority. The king even called for human sacrifices in order to appease the imaginary gods. Would the king believe what McKay had to say? "I am here, O king, to prepare a way for the coming of God's Son, and I want you to join me in pointing the people of this land to the Lamb of God, who alone can take away the sin of the world," McKay announced. Mutesa listened with interest, but he was not convinced enough to submit to McKay's message. The king did allow McKay to hold Sunday services so he could hear more of what God's word had to say. In the beginning, McKay had a remarkable way of influencing Mutesa for good. But one day, Arab traders appeared at court and gave Mutesa guns, ammunition, and yards of red cloth in an exchange for men and women slaves. McKay stepped in and objected. He asked Mutesa if he was willing to sell his own people to be chained, beaten, whipped, and taken to other lands. Was he willing that others should laugh about him and say, "That is how King Mutesa lets strangers treat his children"? With this and other challenging words, McKay appealed to the king's manhood and leadership. Mutesa talked it over with his chiefs and decided his people would not be slaves. But all the same, Mutesa remained a slave to sin. He continued raiding other tribes and offering gruesome human sacrifices to appease false gods. In fact, sin seemed to increase more and more. McKay wrote in his diary, "Every crime and form of uncleanliness is rampant in the country. Each day reveals fresh tales of iniquity, cruelty and oppression. When Mutesa died, his son Mwanga took over, and things went from bad to worse. However, he did not give up. Alexander Mackay became unstoppable as he served Christ faithfully in Africa until the day he died. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, which is known as the faith chapter, it is written, "All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. These men were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Do you feel your faith is strong enough even when you're discouraged? Is your faith strong enough to keep you going even when the victory is not in sight? Are you willing to trust God for the victory which you may not see in your lifetime? Are you willing to trust God and let Him make you unstoppable? When a man is driven by a fierce love for God, he can become unstoppable.
Hi, this is Jim Brangenberg, Executive Director of I Work For Him, an organization dedicated to unlocking God's purpose for you and your work. Hello, 365 Christian men. It's amazing when you hear the story of Alexander Mackay. How can you not be inspired? To think that God gave him an assignment that he accepted, and that assignment involved chopping a 230-mile path through the jungle with a machete, traveling 700 miles over land and over sea, taking a boat on a lake as big as the country of Ireland in order to accomplish his mission. And then as he stood before the king, for the king to constantly reject the message that he brought. But yet the king listened. And the real proof of that is when Alexander brought the truth, the king didn't stay the same as who he was. He actually, his evil got deeper and deeper. And we see that in our lives, that as we run away from the Lord, our sin gets more and more overwhelming. And it says that when the king died, then his son was even worse. That's Satan's way. He tries to get just to distract us. He tries to throw us deeper into the sin that has us so enveloped and so surrounded. And yet what we often see is that in that depths, each one of us, when we get to the end of our rope, when we're so deep in sin, when we get the end of our rope, that we realize, we cry out for God's rope, because we get the end of our rope and God's been holding out his rope all along. When I look at the challenge from the life of Alexander Mackay, it's manyfold. But the first one is, when God calls us and asks us to do something, we just need to say yes. I'm here to tell you, in the life of the ministry that I run, this has not been easy on a day-to-day basis. There's often many challenges, and just being obedient and living a life just of faith, instead of getting a job and a paycheck and, you know, having that easy predictability, it's more difficult. But when you don't obey, then you get the whole Jonah thing, and none of us want to get eaten by a fish. But the challenge is to realize that at the end of Alexander Mackay's life, he didn't know what was going to result. But in his obedience, hundreds of thousands of people responded to the gospel. And that's what we need to remember. 365 Christian men, God calls you to do something today. Do it and watch the miraculous things happen. You just might get to watch those things from heaven and not from earth.